Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Just a bit of housekeeping. Anyone have any electronic devices, cell phones? What are the other devices you might have? You could turn them off. We would appreciate it. It interferes with our sound system. Okay, if we could just have a moment of silence, please. Okay, if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, ma'am. We could have roll call, please.
Charlie Hopkins.
Here.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is audience participation. No one has signed up yet to speak. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to come forward, you're welcome to do so. Seeing none, we'll go on to written communications. Did we have any, Jerry?
We received an email dated September 28th from John Urich regarding the corner of Sweet Road and Odell. And we received an email dated September 30th from Dave Waldbreck with a response to John Urich's email.
Thank you. Public hearing. We have none. Next item is our consent agenda, and we have a consent agenda for approval of bills in the amount of $149,115.80, approval of payroll in the amount of $454,722.61, and approval of the September 23rd, 2013 council meeting minutes. Could I have to make a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is our council action items. The first item is acceptance of the adoption of the Hebert Research Report titled City of Blaine Feasibility Research for Potential Developers, Users, and Real Estate Brokers regarding the Gateway Parcel.
Good evening,
Mr.
Council.
City Manager.
Our presenter has not arrived yet.
Okay.
So I would ask the council to defer this until he does. I expected him to be here about 6:15, so
okay.
We could go forward with some of the other action items and then come back to him.
We'll be glad to do
Thank
so.
You.
We'll defer that one. The next item is the appointment of... Gosh, no. Any? I need help here. Is that Usman?
Usman.
Yep. Representative of the large hotel to the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee. Mr. City Manager, would you like to speak to that?
Certainly. We have the BTAC back in place. They had their first meeting last week. They're going to be meeting again, I think, this week. And we had a vacancy from, actually, the ordinance now speaks to just hotels. It doesn't say small or large, but Simiyama was represented in the past with a representative from the management, and Osman has now been selected by their group to do that. And it's really the council's decision to accept that recommendation. Certainly, I think the BTAC would support that, and I would as well. So this is really an appointment to finish the remaining term on that committee.
Okay. Anyone care to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is Resolution 1626-13, setting the public hearing for the Adelia Street vacation petition.
I move that we waive the second reading and adopt Resolution 1626-13 to schedule a public hearing for same.
You may not have a chance there. Go ahead.
I am absolutely fine if you want to continue. I think there were a couple of council members absent when we did the introduction of our public works initial review. We had followed up after the study session that talked about how we kind of have two levels of review. An initial review, we come to you with a recommendation, and then you direct us to set the hearing, and then we do the more detailed review. So that's what we're asking for your request. We need to set the public hearing and to provide adequate notice and so on. That date would be November 12th.
Are there any questions? November 12th. Any questions for Raven?
Raven.
The names on the
Dennis.
Under the recommendation. I think that should be Blaine Avenue and Garfield Avenue.
What it's Adelia Street between Blaine. Oh, not Garfield.
It is Avenues. Yeah, that's true. Because there is a Blaine Road, so we don't.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Anyone care to make a motion for the revised resolution?
So move. With those correction.
Corrections. And waiving the second reading?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. For a resolution, you don't have need to waive the second reading.
Okay.
Seconded.
Resolution's been seconded. Any other questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passes 7-0. Next item on the agenda is the resolution 1625-13, adopting the schedule for the city county UGA review.
At this pace, Mr. Mayor, we may have a chance for a break before Mr. Hebert gets here. this is, as you mentioned, resolution 1625, and it speaks to adopting an effort to.
You may want to lengthen this out.
No. I'm not going to be on the hook for that. This speaks to the cities throughout Whatcom County and the county making a best effort to work together on a cooperative timeline to update our comprehensive plans. We are all required by state law to update our comprehensive plans by June 30th, 2016. So we've outlined a very simplified schedule for your review. And we have a much more detailed schedule that we're working through on the staff level. It essentially just says good faith effort that all the cities will try to take these steps and all arrive at the 2016 deadline together. And there are no real implications of adopting this other than a good faith effort. There are no penalties if we don't meet the deadlines. On the budget implications, I did note in here that this stuff's not free. So depending upon how we approach it, there could be budget implications. You'll see a budget request for items related to this. You may decide to fund that, or you may say that's not the priority and we'll do that with available staff resources. So there are no direct implications of the schedule, but there are costs related to doing this update, which is state mandated. So staff's recommendation is to approve this, to indicate our good faith effort to move forward with the county and the other cities. You have any questions for me?
Questions for Michael? None. Anyone care to make a motion?
Second.
Any other further questions or comments?
That schedule is the one on the back.
As I said, there's a much more detailed schedule of all the steps staff is going through, but this just gives you an idea of some of the key moments in that timeline.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the agenda is Ordinance 13-2835, the Residential Minimum Density Zoning Text Amendment Reconsideration.
Mr. Mayor, as you mentioned, this is a reconsideration, so this is brought back before you as a result of a vote by the council to do that, to reconsider it, to bring it forward a second time. The ordinance is the same as when you saw it the first time, so there have been no amendments or changes, and it would essentially have two primary effects. It would require that new developments that are not in already master planned areas, so outside of the approved Semiahmoo master plan, outside of the Grandis Pond master plan, and outside of the East Maple Ridge master plan, those new residential development projects would be required to have a minimum density of 4 dwelling units per net acre, gross acre. And the areas within those master planned areas would just develop out according to the existing plans. The other primary change that it has is, in order to allow that, in order to make that feasible, there would need to be an amendment to the RPR, the Residential Planned Recreation Zoning category, which is essentially the Semiahmoo uplands, that would allow for a higher density. So right now it allows for 3 dwelling units per acre. This would allow for 4 dwelling units per acre, because you can't set a minimum at 4 and a maximum at 3. That doesn't pencil out. So this applies in the East Plain area primarily and in the Semiahmoo uplands area. There are a variety of options for you. You can approve the amendment to the code. You can approve the proposal with modifications, changes that you make. You could remand it to the Planning Commission with some direction for some changes that they would make and send it back to you. Or, of course, you can deny the proposal. Any questions for me on any of that?
Yeah, I need a clarification. Dennis, go ahead.
When there was a vote taken on this.
That's right.
And it was a tie vote, and as a result, it did not pass. So it was going to be taken up again, someone that was on the
winning side, is that the correct term?
On the side that prevailed, which was the winning side, was who remanded it, who brought up the remand. That was, I believe, Mr. Cocker, and it was seconded by the mayor. They were the only two people present on that day to authorize a reconsideration. So this is
you've got me confused.
This is not the vote to reconsider. That already happened last time. It has been brought back to you now for reconsideration. So first it was denied on a tie. That the next meeting there was a vote to reconsider, which put it on this agenda, and so now it is before you again. This is not a vote to reconsider. This is a vote to either approve, deny, or remand the ordinance.
So the choices that are there, if you want to modify this, it has to be remanded back to the Planning Commission?
No, it doesn't. There are four choices. One is to approve it, one is to approve it with modification, one is to remand it with direction, and the other is to deny it. So you can make the modifications here, or you can tell the Planning Commission what you'd like to see and send it back to them.
Okay, now, are there any other questions for Michael? Okay. Anyone care to make a motion?
Yeah, that would be exactly the kind of direction you would want to send it back with. They need to know. If you just send it back, no one knows what you want, but that would be a very clear direction.
But could that be done right now by the council?
Could that change be done right now by council? It could be. Okay. You could opt to...
Number two.
Strike the first section, which are the amendments to the residential planned recreation zone, and those are the ones that relate to 17.38, and you could strike that and only pass those things that relate to the planned residential zone, which is 17.42, and that would be the East Plain tracts.
Charlie, that was sort of what I was trying to get at.
So you can either, this is actually a pretty simple one. Usually I would tell you, and I've said it many times, I really discourage you from amending things on the fly, because a lot of times there are implications. Mr. Greeno mentioned something earlier about the idea of a spider web. You pull on one strand and everything's connected. So a lot of times what we're doing has a lot of implications, and it's important to be detailed and be careful about that. But in this instance, it's basically saying leave something alone, not change it. That's not that risky. There's not a lot of implications to leave it alone. So if you were to strike that one whole section, it would apply in East Blaine. It wouldn't apply in Semiahmoo. And we would probably bring it back to you in another form in the future when we're talking about the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan update next year, because it's a very valid discussion point. Yep.
So how would we word that?
I think you would just say recommend approval of Ordinance 132835 with sections applying only to 1742. That would be simple enough. Just basically recommend approval. Let me see. Where is the verbiage? You could read the recommendation here and say, with those areas only relating to the planned residential zoning district. Only those areas relating to the planned residential zoning district.
Clark, do you have a comment? Or?
I move we approve the proposal with modifications to eliminate reference to residential plan, recreation.
That works.
Second.
Seconded. Is there any other comments or questions? Could you repeat that?
Mr. Rollison made the motion to approve the amendment with striking references to the residential plan recreation zoning district, so it would not apply in the Semiahmoo uplands, is the effect of that.
Okay. Bonnie, do you have no comments, no questions? I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 7-0.
Thank you.
Mayor and council member, our speaker's here, presenter's here. I think he may need a couple minutes to get himself set up and organized. You just give us a minute to do that. We can start reports if you'd like while he's doing that.
I think I'll do that. Would you be kind enough to let me know when you want to go back on the action items? Okay, let's do some commission, committee, and board reports. Clark, on the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Is that open to the public? Clark, is that open to the public? I guess it is. Okay. Thank you. Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee, Steve.
We had a meeting last Tuesday at 8 a.m., very productive. We have another one scheduled for tomorrow at 8:30. We'll be conducting quite a few meetings.
Terrific. Okay. How about the countywide economic development? Okay. How about the Boys and Girls Club?
I talked to Joel after the fundraiser. They were very pleased with the turnout, both of headcounts and with dollar amounts. They exceeded their expectations. The community did a fine job of meeting their needs.
I thought it was a terrific event, and I'm very pleased to see that it was held at the Boys and Girls Club itself. Yeah, it was really well done. Okay, Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie.
At the last meeting, Mr. Jones did a presentation on the recreational marijuana initiative that passed in the state. He went over the general initiative and then more specifically how we have handled it here in Blaine. And there were several questions, and I think it was quite illuminating to everybody there. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. And there's no red loan report, no applications.
No red loan report.
Nope.
Okay, we've got to get some red loan people going. Okay, WTA board, Mr. Greenow.
No report.
Okay, Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie.
No report.
Library Committee, Dennis.
No report.
Senior Center Liaison, Dennis.
Well, I got a long report. They're having the monthly breakfast on the 19th, 8 to 11. And this is an opportunity for candidates for Blaine City Council, County Council, and Port of Bellingham Commission to mingle or kibitz with Blaine and area residents and to take part in the local cuisine created and served by the Saturday breakfast crew of the Senior Center.
Heartstoppers.
What is this date?
Price, $6 for adults, $4 for children.
Wow. When is
this? 19th.
That's a deal.
The October the 19th?
Yeah. October the 19th.
What time?
It's 8 to 11.
It's 8 to 11. No, oh, okay. Gotcha.
Bring your cholesterol now.
Okay. Mr. Jones, Planning Commission.
Yes, I just a brief report on the Planning Commission. They are considering scheduling an extra meeting in November because typically, and as always, we're losing a meeting due to Thanksgiving. They have a lot of topics on the table. Two items that will be coming to you shortly that they've recommended approval on are adjusting our SEPA thresholds to bring them up a bit, which is permissible under the new state laws that have been passed. And also they recently voted to recommend approval of increasing the allowable impervious surface in the highway commercial zone. That will be coming forward to you at a future meeting. That's all for the Planning Commission. The Park and Cemetery Board has a meeting this Thursday, 9:30 here in this room, and they will be discussing the vigil item that was brought forward to you a couple of weeks ago and a few other topics on their agenda.
Thank you. Anything on the Park and Cemetery Board?
That was what I just covered.
That was it. Okay, good. Chief Haslip is not here. Small Cities Caucus. David, do we have any on that?
We have a meeting scheduled tomorrow. I think I'd mentioned earlier that I'm going to be tied up in a defensive driving train, so it may be that you would attend that.
Okay.
How long does that defensive driving last?
It's three to 3.5 hours. We are offering it three different times, 8 a.m., 1 p.m., or 6 p.m.
Okay,
you are welcome.
Okay. And the next item is the Whatcom Council of Governments, and there was a meeting held on October the 9th. I'm trying to look at the notes that were taken. We had a number of transportation alternatives program project selections. And I believe we had one item on there. I got to find my notes now. And that was the Hughes Avenue Peace Portal. And as a result of that, that was the surface transportation project, and there was, I think, about seven in total, and we had the fourth one. Yeah. More importantly, we heard from Tom Parker. Tom Parker is the lobbyist for the COG in Olympia, and I guess he was trying to convey to us that hopefully there's going to be some transportation projects in the future. There were none last year, and there is a feeling that the Senate, which is now a coalition of Republicans, Democrats, are pushing for reforms to take precedent over the transportation projects. However, they're hopeful that some transportation revenue package will come forward in 2014. There's a number of meetings being held all over the state, and that they're hoping that pressure can be put on to get some transportation revenue projects in the mix, although they do feel that there's a very strong push coming from the Senate to look at reforms as opposed to pushing something on transportation. On October the 15th at 6 to 9 p.m. at the terminal in Bellingham, there's going to be a public forum involving transportation. So if anyone wants to attend that. It doesn't look like it's terribly promising that there's going to be any great amount of money available for transportation in the future. So just thought I'd pass that along. The North Whatcom Fire update, Chief Ponder.
Good evening, Council. I shared with you a copy of our monthly newsletter. And one other little item I'd like to share with you is that recently there was, you probably read or have heard about the school bus crash.
Yes.
With the 42 kids in that. We're going to have a post-incident debriefing tomorrow morning at 9 at the Blaine Station to see what we can learn from that incident. Not that anything went wrong, but we're going to have law enforcement, fire, and the school at that meeting and just review the whole incident, see what we can learn from it, and hopefully never have to use again. There was a vehicle hit a school bus with 42 kids, the one on Blaine and, Pretty serious. There was a huge implication if that car would have hit the bus a second earlier or a second later. It just happened to hit the rear axle directly on that bus. A second later, a second earlier, we would have had numerous serious injuries. So we were very fortunate on that accident.
That was a direct result of the fog? Or?
That's still under review. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I won't say. I think was that a question of me? Nope.
Any other questions for the Chief? Thank you, Chief. Mr. City Manager, are we ready to go back to the acceptance of the adoption of the Hebert Report?
We are. I've got handouts for you.
Oh, terrific. Okay, mark confidential for your eyes only.
Yeah, I want to start, and I can't help but follow up on this defensive driving course that you recommended, because on the way up, 3.5 hours, there were five different major car wrecks where it was all caused by one thing, a cell phone and somebody running into the back of another car. So. Defensive driving is definitely important. I'm going to go through this with you, and very quickly, because you've had a chance to read it, and Councilmember Kottner was part of the group, and so was, I think, Councilmember Onion, too. And you've received a lot of feedback from your city manager, and no doubt from your staff. And you have excellent staff here. I work with Jeffrey on some financial areas, and obviously Michael Jones in terms of his planning skills, and we utilize that to a great extent. And then your new city manager, David Milbrecht. Let me just kind of frame this for you. And this is the first time in 35 years addressing a city council, county council, the legislature, that I'll give you these comments as a framework. We hear at the schools of business, and I don't teach it, but other faculty members do, That is location, location, location when it comes to real estate. And I have never believed that. And I have the proof that that does not occur. But the way to look at real estate and properties is nothing more than a set of rights. A right to build based on the comp plan, a certain type of activity, the right to build at certain heights, the right to have access to a major transportation core like I-5, the right to have your own electric power system that would be available to the development. There's a whole series of rights, and those, in essence, build the value. And there are rights that that we've brought forth that I think furthermore add the value to the greater 430 acres that is involved in this. And those are really two. One of them is addresses the medical center, and in our discovery going across the country and looking at all the different cross-border points, we discovered that in the city of Buffalo, they developed a major medical facility, which in fact has 12,000 employees and is expanding and continues to expand, that has 47,000 admissions annually for patients from Canada. And we'll get into why that has been so successful, and now the building of a university there as well. And the second area that we brought to you, and we really tried to be open on this and listen to the committee, which provided a lot of insight, wisdom, legacy, the history, and ideas, was the need and the following research on a advanced manufacturing a commercial center, and that is a broad categorization. So we focused on those two, and principally because over the years, and I know that this has been a project that began in the first of the year and has continued most of this year and probably will into future years. There was a lot of good decision making, a lot of good planning that really wasn't noted except for you, and not heralded, and certainly not aware by the development community and potential tenants. And I'll just cite a number of those. Number one was the education system that you have here. And this is a very strong education system here, and it's important to companies that would locate here. And you say, well, where's the proof of that? The proof of it is when I was the researcher for the major development on the east side of Lake Sammamish, and all those different properties that have built the east side now up to 631,000 people. But really we discovered was it was the quality of the school system in Bellevue and Issaquah and North Shore that attracted the young families and, of course, attracted the CEOs. So where CEOs go, so follows the company. And they are looking at a quality a K-12 system. But then you have your technical colleges, you have your four-year with Western. So there's a lot of good education, which is important in the advanced manufacturing. We will see manufacturing in the future and already today that is nothing like we have seen in the past, where the extensive use of robotics and 3D printing and just-in-time and supply chain. And it's just amazing what has happened. I've been very fortunate to be the founder and the chair of the Center for Advanced Manufacturing in this state. And it has some very fine manufacturing companies. And all of these new advances really enable us as a, not just an area such as Blaine, but as a nation to compete very effectively against other nations. And there's just a lot of opportunity, especially for our young millennial generation. So the educational component was important, and the particularly the planning in terms of the infrastructure of the roads and streets and all the work that has been done to provide the planning basis and hopefully the funding in terms of the access and expansion onto I-5. So that has come together. So the planning in the past makes this available. And you say, well, this isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. Because when the Redmond campus for Microsoft, which is where I sat down with Bill Gates Jr. and his mother, Mary, and they looked at this site in Redmond, there wasn't the infrastructure there. In fact, it took 30 years to even extend 520. So they were always behind. But the telecom system, you have that here in terms of high-speed cable. You have, of course, electric power. You have the water systems. And we didn't have that then. That all had to be built, really, after the actual buildings were constructed. And then, two, you exist here between two major metro areas, both in the south, with, down in the Seattle area, which is becoming a gridlock situation. One of my board members at the Center for Advanced Manufacturing is Tom Albro. He also is the president of the Port of Seattle, and he wants to meet you, by the way. I've talked to David, and I've talked to Michael Jones, and probably should bring the director of finance into it, as well as some of the council members, because he sees this as a way of creating the regional growth, and not just the Port of Seattle, which is really constricted. In fact, there is a strong undercurrent to take away docks and manufacturing areas and turn them into condominiums and expansion of, in addition, of additional sports arenas. So you have that definitely in place here. And you have some other fortune. You're not, these are things that, you know, if you were to go to God and say, create a place where you can put some kind of a manufacturing facility for advanced manufacturing, this might be the place. And some of the reasons, let's take the Kent Valley. It floods. It's in the 100-year floodplain. They've done a lot to try to mitigate that. A lot of manufacturing is in floodplains. Advanced manufacturing, as we saw in Japan, really took a hard toll. Toyota is one of our clients, and they literally, 13 of their plants were gone, shut down, because they were in a floodplain from the tsunami. You don't have that problem here. You're above the floodplain area. Now, the target industries that we focused on, and we, I think that the best way to conduct research is to throw everything into the mix of possible solutions and possible good outcomes. And so we narrowed it down. We looked at trucking and transportation. We looked at warehousing. We looked at information. Those will probably happen too. But the manufacturing and how that creates a convergence point. Now, convergence is not something that's thrown out. It's oftentimes talked about, but it's a math concept. It is a true mathematical concept. Airports have conversion of planes coming in, ascending and descending, which is divergence. And to have that that type of convergence between two major economic engines is important, and for a variety of reasons that we'll talk about. So we. As we went through the research, we looked at a number of variables and the various types of port activities. I mentioned that with two economic engines, with 3.5 million people to the south in the greater Seattle area, and nearly the same number, about 2.6 million up in the greater Vancouver. But even more important, and I just, when I was preparing for my remarks early this morning, I looked at numbers. To me, numbers theory is all about order and value. What does that number say? So I looked at this number of employment, and it's 1.8 million, but I ran my eyes down to the page and looked at 191,000 employees that are in the greater Seattle market area, and that's followed by another 120,200, which are up here in the greater Vancouver. Say, well, what's the big deal? That is an employment base. That is an employment base that is critical to recruit from, and companies that are looking at areas that are lower cost of living, a quality of life, a quality school system, a city that has done some preliminary planning, and it's not a catch-up scenario. You've done it, and so that becomes attractive to the employment. Our challenges in manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, are employment. So I'm dwelling on that, and the employment is really where can I live with livable wage type of jobs, employment, and that occurs here. If you look farther south or farther north, it is significantly higher, and it's a struggle. And in fact, it's very difficult to fill those positions. We looked at the medical facility, and that is an imperfection that exists as a result of the Canadian healthcare system. And we won't discuss how it relates to that which is being considered for funding in this country. But I will tell you that what's happened is that within the Canadian healthcare system, they're covered to a large extent for healthcare in a broad base. But there's two market imperfections. One of them is, when can I see a surgeon? When can I have that procedure done? And the delays on that. So those become considerable concerns. And those that can afford it go elsewhere, as they have in Buffalo. And we know what it's both women, tends to be a little bit more for women. They tend to utilize the system more, 53.7 versus 46.3. And they tend to be in that 55 to 70 age group, 46.3. Now, this is where we see the greatest incidence of all kinds of cardiovascular and metabolic illnesses and prevention, and that is becoming increasingly available. But you've got to have the diagnosis, you've got to have the various tests performed, and you've got to have it done in terms of the schedule. And to wait 26 weeks for a coronary bypass or a valve replacement for some individuals, they don't wait that long. They'll pay it, the price of life. And they have the money, particularly British Columbia and also Alberta, where we see that our incomes, those that are above $100,000, represents 54.4% of the British Columbia population. I mean, that outdoes the east side of Seattle, which is acclaimed as the Gold Coast. Now, the other area that we looked at is that I was concerned, and one of my hypotheses was that Canadian citizens seeking health care, it's the border. And yet, what we found in our research is that annually they cross the border 14.8 times. Now we know that at least three-fourths of that is to Costco. That's Costco's researcher. I know they come down, and not only do they fill their gas can, but they also fill the gas cans in the back of their SUVs and pickups. This warehouse up here has been very successful. It's not a barrier, and there are barriers, you see. You're kidding yourself. 520 is a barrier in Seattle. I-90 is a barrier in Seattle. and is changing the whole performing arts where companies locate. So this is one that is, there have been some improvements to it that have facilitated that. The medical demand area, not a surprise with this age group, the cardiology at 54.4, imaging, the nuclear molecular resin, cancer treatment, surgical services, joint implant replacement, strokes, and it goes on. Many of those, and I don't want to mislead you in saying, you know, you've got to build another St. Joseph Hospital. That's not what we're talking about. St. Joseph is there. And in medicine today, and I served on the board of trustees for 12 years at Overlake Hospital Medical Center, and it was a period of great expansion, and then also was part of Swedish and the expansion of their clinics too, and then the University of Washington on the board of endocrinology and gastrology, which is something that probably most of you aren't terribly interested in unless you're one of those type who likes to look at bile all day in and day out. But we've discovered a lot of interesting things related to the GI tracts. Our idea here, and I want to be clear on this, is that medicine today is a collaborative one. So why duplicate something that's already being provided? So clinics, an initial type of diagnosis, procedures, and tests, and so forth, might make sense. We also can look at the wellness area. And wellness is a coming form of improving one's life without the invasive pharmaceuticals and surgeries. And Canyon Ranch is probably the gold star in that. Are they interested in up here? Absolutely. They are very interested. They've been longstanding clients, and you've had some major announcements, and you've got some key players that might work as well. So, in looking at this, this has been a site and opportunity in waiting for many, many years. But you've been persistent. It reminds me that I tell this story, not publicly, but I will tonight. It took me 20 years to get a date with my wife when I was at the University of Washington. And I couldn't even get her to turn around in some of the classes I had no interest in but her. But it worked out. I married to former council chair of King County, Cynthia Sullivan. And by the way, for those of you who haven't gone to Canada yet and reveal the fact that you are council members and mayors, Mayor Robinson, you will be called His Worship or Her Worship. Now, I'm just Jim, but it is honored up there. So I want to just summarize my comments. And what you have done in the past in terms of planning and the preparation and kept it quiet is essential to what can be developed in the forefront for you. And that being an advanced manufacturing center, commercial center, and also a medical center. We did do some economic impact analysis, and it is very strong, both from a construction standpoint, the building of it, that creates an immediate impact economically. It creates jobs, and we're estimating that will create approximately, in terms of employment, about 213 in just the construction now, just during that period. And that does not include any of the equipment that goes in that's brought into the area, usually. And then as far as the ongoing operation of both facilities, on the medical, it's 330, construction is 189, and operating for the construction is at 99. Now, these are small facilities at this point, and we like to really start small and build from there. You've got a large property. What we're talking about here is a 25,000-foot clinic, very comparable in size to what you find in Snohomish, the city of Snoqualmie. One of my staff members is now running that, and he was the executive director for a camp I founded called Camp Corey, which was a 818-acre former dairy farm owned by the Carnation to be available and for 1,200 children that have terminal and serious illnesses. True fact. And we use that as an example. And I think that's, and grow it from that standpoint. Now, that obviously is a phasing. Same thing with advanced light manufacturing at 50, and that's 100, and so forth. We're doing the same thing in Moses Lake. You think I'm dreaming about these things? You know where the new bodies are made for BMW using the new technologies on materials? It's made not in Germany. It's made in Moses Lake. And there's a new pharmaceutical that's going into Moses Lake. So these things happen, but they only happen because it makes economic sense, and you have the infrastructure. Moses Lake's got the infrastructure. It's got good power, good water on I-90. And these are the things that make these work, and they happen. They're not just dreams. So this is my overview for you. And I want to give recognition to where it's due. It is due to the committee. It is due to your new city manager, David Welbrecht, who handled the reins that were handed to him very quickly, to Mike, to Jeffrey, to Ms. Wright-Wolf, and other staff members that worked here, and to you. I will be hopefully available to you as needed and as you move forward on this. I would ask to be heralded, but that hasn't happened. I am occasionally appreciated, and that's enough. So I'm open for questions. Excuse me?
What's the next step?
Okay. That's a very good question, Council Member Hawkins. And it's a question that really I like. We don't want this to be on the shelf. I've done enough academic publications that no one reads, except department chairs that try to find something wrong with everything you said, and review committees. This is something that can be implemented. And the first step, I think, obviously you have to accept this procedurally. And the next step is to form a subcommittee, or maybe it's back to the main committee, or maybe it's a group of the Council of the Whole, and that is to set forth the requirements for an RFQ for a developer and go about the selection process with the criteria in mind on a pre-basis and go out. And I have already developers that have heard about this, very fine ones, that have asked me. In fact, they've all asked me this week when I was going to meet with you and when can I get a copy of the research. And I said, not until the council accepts it and approves it. And then we'll take the next step according to their direction. So that's, and then I think a selection process. I would like to see the developer do what developers do best, and that is provide the funding as much as, you know, it's got to be some kind of a partnership, but a lot of that, the roads and the wastewater, and I know the issue is going to come up on in terms of stormwater, but a lot of that has already been contributed by the citizens and the business community of Blaine. What I would like to see is that they come with their dollars, and furthermore, they come with their prospective tenants and users. So it's they may want to work with a realtor on that basis. But I think that the private sector works the best when it has to provide the financing, it has to do the marketing, and you as a city provide the rules and the criteria and the schedules of what needs to be done and holds it to a certain standard. I mean, that's a very Tocqueville, that's a very Antonin Scalia's approach, but I think that's the one that I see probably the best one for you. And the finance director should receive some of the, as a department, should receive some of the benefits of the permits and the increased property revenues and also ongoing from an operating standpoint. Other questions? Yes, Mr. Reno.
I was in Moses Lake last month, I guess it was, and I took the opportunity to drive out to the plant. Several significant differences between that plant and what we're talking about here would be, first of all, the plant is located significantly to the north of the city, where land is cheap. Second, the plant had what looked to me to be, to my naive eye, to be 10 to 15 big electrical generators. My guess was that the process that they're doing is so critical that should power fail, they have to bring their own generators online. Now, having lived with big generators for much of my professional life, I know these guys are noisy. So my concern would be, what problems would locating light to medium industry bring to the center of a town as opposed to the periphery?
Mm-hmm. Good. That's a good question. I mean, it really is a good question. And this is, it starts with defining who you are as a city and the type of quality of life that you want to have here. The absence of it becomes big noisy generators. Without the zoning structure, and I know the developer very well in this, it will go to the least expensive route. If you look at other communities that have successfully integrated their advanced manufacturing in them, you wouldn't even know they're there. Now, I will prove my point. If you go to Kirkland, which is about as tough as it gets in terms of land use and allowing operations, you will find a company called Pathway, which is a manufacturing company, and what they produce is the devices, their catheters, and almost like a rotor-rooter, but in a very nanotechnology base that goes up the leg and cuts through all of the plaque and then doesn't push it into the heart, which you don't want, or into the brain, and then pulls it all back and takes it out. And we're seeing increasingly a number of patients that have congested, restricted arteries in their legs. And this solves it. And they have 300 or 400 people there. You go into that facility, and I will tell you this, and we can make a tour. You will be expected to go to be as clean and well-gowned from the top to your feet as going into a surgical unit at Evergreen. It's that type. Clean air, clean people. And you'll see that the employees are working with welding, these tiny little rotors and so forth that comprise this equipment. So it doesn't have to be something as large as using new composites and making lighter parts for automobiles or aircrafts or trucks. It would be another area. You define what you want and what's most acceptable to your citizens. But that is in Kirkland, in a very successful company. Physio's another one, in Redmond. Hewlett-Packard, another one. Clean, clean companies.
How small did the Buffalo Medical Center start off as? I mean, was it tiny and built up, or was there something of a larger scale begin with?
It started small, and it continued to grow. And as it grew, it continued to expand. And fortunately, they had enough wisdom and foresight that they had the land already appropriated for it, so it could grow into it. And then they allowed increasing heights, increasing densities, and they built parking garages. So that, by the way, that's exactly how the medical district in Bellevue was created, between Overlake and Group Health. So I, you know, again, I think the you start with the land and the rights that are associated with that, and then it becomes scalable and done over. I was telling your city manager, I said, I hope that your contract is 10 years because it's going to take a while. It's okay, you know, and, it's better to do it right than to rush. Even medicine has gone to what's called slow healing.
In Buffalo, was this driven by doctors or was this by investors?
The doctors. And then the university came on board.
Yeah, I know we're in the initial stages of this, but I was on the hospital foundation board for 10 years, and I know the CEO of that operation, and they're very, very competitive.
At Overlake?
And trying to keeping their own business. They would love to get more Canadian business. So
this is at Peace.
At Peace Health, yeah. This is the problem with that in the, I've talked to some doctors in the past that thought of maybe branching out a little differently, and they find it quite threatening if they suggest anything that's going to take any business away from the hospital.
Yeah.
A little delicate. You have to know the politics behind that.
Mayor, that's why you're the mayor.
I know.
You're going to work with hopefully us and work through that anxiousness that will happen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So,
the property that the city has, there are some problems with paying off some bills, and how do you? Would you recommend to balance when you sell, how much of that property, so that you may have to have something go early in the game and then hold for later on some others?
Well, first of all, you may not want to sell it. You may want to lease it. And then a lease is nothing but another form of finance. So there may be ways to get complain at least. There may be ways to get money up front to pay off any bills, and because you don't want liens against the property by any means. But those are all workable. And actually, not to Jeffrey as your finance director, I taught finance. I mean, that's the most important part, because you can generally figure it out. I haven't seen it, but I can. Of course, I didn't deal with Goldman Sachs either, but thank goodness. But yeah, you could make sure that that's retired as part of it. You have got so many options, and this many options is a blessing, because you can go here, you can be flexible, you can go there, and you can take the best one. You're really fortunate. I had to talk to the audit for the city of Tacoma. There weren't a lot of options there. They were broke.
Jerry?
Please don't take this as a negative comment. It's not intended to be one. You say that we have many options. What puts us in a favorable position vis-a-vis somebody like, say, Ferndale, who would seem to have pretty much the same set of options we do?
Mm-hmm. They do. Okay. They also have one of our clients that if I could have stalled, I would, and that's called Samson Rope. But I didn't get this project in time, or I would have, because Wind River Holdings owns it, and they are a major family-held trust, and they are good clients of ours. I think that, you've got competition with them. You may have competition in Bellingham.
Let's sleep on Samson for a second. Would they be a good neighbor for us in Blaine? Not Samson per se, but a Samsonite, sorry. Something similar to Samson.
Yeah, it would. Because they have a technology on making ropes.
They do.
That is the leading, most foremost rope technologies. And I mean that. That's why they're the gold standard. They weren't always. Just rope. But ropes that hold tugs, cruise ships, drop the drapes, performing arts centers, mooring lines for yachts, and big, And you don't get cut. It's all the metal.
Okay.
But there's more out there.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to steal Samson. I'm trying to get a picture in my mind of what a good corporate neighbor for Blaine might look like.
Well, I think you're beginning. Samson's a good company. Pathway Technologies is. We have a new product that we're working on that's going to have to find a place to manufacture, and it came out of the University of Washington. It's called, internal name for now, code name is called Hot Doc. Hot dog. If you have a pain in your shoulder, it has an adhesive, you put it on, it's wireless. And within 2 or 3 minutes, it's gone. And it comes back, you just push a button, totally non-invasive. It works on a technology, patented one, of using a heat wave therapy. And it's a pulsing of that is built into the MEMS from the computer that runs it. It's a $400 item. But if you have pain, it'll take it away. We're talking about chronic pain, but we're also talking about acute. And it can be post-surgical, or it can be post. I decided to run all through Semiamu in the sand, which I did once. Big mistake. I could hardly walk the next day. So.
David, do you want us to have a motion to accept the research document?
So, thank you for the questions. The next steps really are for the council to accept the document, and then our next steps then would be to form the committee as Mr. Hebert suggested. We have one in place now, the Economic Development Committee, that we certainly could utilize for this, but the idea is to get together quickly, start formalizing a work plan, including many of the things that were suggested this afternoon and this evening. We probably would come back to the council in the budget with some funding requests. There's going to take some money to do a few things, but I think our goal in between now and the end of the year is put all of the machinery together, requests for qualifications or the requests for development. We'll work those kind of things out, come back and report to the council, get some approvals to move forward, and then use 2014 as the year to get and identify those potential tenants and developers and industries based upon the council's and the community's direction. So tonight it's acceptance of the report and then authorization to continue moving forward.
So we're going to take a motion to that effect.
Second it.
Okay, is there any other questions or comments? I have one other question.
Yes, sir.
Could you just maybe just explain the court's participation in this and will they be participating in the future?
So the port obviously was important to us in two sense. One is that they helped fund the original work at $15,000. Which, by the way, I think our match, $30,000, was certainly well spent for this product. I think there's a lot of data that you're not seeing as part of another report that I'd mentioned. We're happy to share that with you, but there's a whole other document that is more specific and more detailed that was utilized to develop the summary. So the port funded that along with the city. In the future, they're going to be our partners, I think, in the sense that they have, you know, through Dodd and John, an economic development arm. They have resources to help us. They're more than willing to work with us on bringing clients here that we think would be people that we might be interested in, making contacts, setting up meetings. So they're a willing partner with us, I think, all through this process. And we're certainly going to want to work with them as well. One of the things, I guess, to kind of play off a little bit of what Mr. Hebert said, you know, I look at this as kind of a regional approach. I know that we're looking specifically for things for Blaine to succeed with, but hopefully we'll contact a lot of people. We're going to take this report and make it available to people. We'll make presentations to, you know, hopefully other places. We'll take it to the small cities, not this month, but the following month. We're going to talk about this report all throughout Whatcom County, and my hope and desire is that we build the county economically as well as the city. I think it's a regional approach. Today in the world of collaboration, but one city has, another city doesn't. It's better to be collaborative than to be competitive, I think, overall. So that's my approach. So we're going to use the report and our connections to enhance, hopefully, Blaine specifically, that property specifically, but the surrounding properties as well, but also other entities and cities. The stronger the county's economic basis, the better for us, I think.
Favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Acceptance is 7-0. Now, Mr. City Manager, would you like to carry on with the City Manager and staff reports?
So I'll just probably turn it over to my staff. I have nothing to report as of right now. Most of my focus has been getting this report done and a few other things. So, sure. Staff?
I'll try to be brief. Just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. Mayor Robinson actually pointed out one of the things I was going to call to your attention, and that is the AWC-sponsored regional meeting tomorrow, which actually takes place in Bellingham. It's a transportation forum with legislative representatives present, and from 6 to 9 p.m. I understand that Bellingham is planning on speaking. The WCOG, who represents us regionally as our MPO, is not going to be speaking. They're going to be writing a letter. The comment about the Tom Parker list, I just wanted to let you know that he actually asked for a much more streamlined list. Usually, as a region, we put like 20 projects out there, and prices are, you know, all the way up to the tens of millions. And he asked for four projects, $2.5 million or less. And so Blaine got onto that list with a Vactus relocation. So whether or not he's successful in that, who knows, but it at least calls some attention to our elected officials that that's something that needs to be on their map. I wanted to give you an opportunity, if you had any feedback on the joint work session that we had with Birch Bay, or if there's anything that you wanted us and Public Works to act upon as a result of that. So I'm here, and I'm an open ear for that, if that's something that is of interest. Last week was kind of the kickoff, really kind of touch-and-go week for the work that's happening at our Blaine substation at the corner of U Avenue and Hughes, Odell. And that is going really well. It was a little bit bumpy at start. We were getting some voltage spikes as they were transferring to the transformer. That's a temporary transformer. My understanding, after talking to their engineer today, is that's stabilized now, and they're expecting pretty smooth sailing ahead. The work that's taking place on Thursday should be kind of interesting. They'll actually have a crane on site to lift the transformer that they're replacing out of the substation. So that should be cool. We don't get to see many cranes in Blaine. And then, based on your approvals for proceeding with our energy conservation project, we have given a notice to proceed to JCI. We don't expect any changes to be taking place in any of our buildings, at least until the first part of 2014. We're going to use the remainder of the year to get designs and submittals and get the schedule kind of worked out. And we also need to finalize what rebates that we might be eligible for BPA rebates, and how we're going to fund those. So, yes, Councilmember Kottner. Yeah. What's going on right now is the first phase of that is actually being funded by the Transportation Improvement Board. They have developed a bid package that they're willing to fund that'll have alternatives, and it's based on which supplier has the low bid. Then we'll work with them on color and so forth. One of the comments that I'm going to have on those specifications, which I just got late Friday evening, is whether or not we can powder coat them brown so that the fixture matches the posts in the Semiahmoo area, particularly. But it was my hope to bring an example of, probably it's going to end up being a picture. I kind of hope to lay the head of a street light on the table, and in any event, have some pictures, color pictures that I can show of kind of how they look, and I think that everyone will be pretty pleased. That being said, whatever is the resultant low bid out of the TIB project will be specified for the JCI project so that they match citywide somewhat. Anyway, we probably won't have the brown powder coating where we don't have brown poles. And then,
Raven, call that question.
It's okay. Now, I am seeing construction on what I think is a corner of the airport land. Is that a stormwater facility, stormwater treatment facility?
I believe that's a TC Trading. They're doing some grading in the back there.
Yeah.
It's on private property. It's not,
Yours. Well, not ours. Okay. Thank you.
Then I understood that there was some questions regarding the rate difference between Puget Sound Energy and the City of Blaine as it pertained to the Hebert report. I created a little comparison page for you that has two scenarios. One shows a typical residential use, assuming 1,000 kilowatts, and then the other is a commercial service using 30,000 kilowatts, and how those are broken out by Puget Sound Energy and the City of Blaine. So I'm going to pass those out right now, and I'll just walk you through that.
Raven, just to sort of relating to that, are we going to continue to provide electrical services to Loomis Trail in that area there?
Yes. Our conversation with Puget Sound Energy, while we're in the legal side of things now, reviewing contracts, but we succeeded with keeping Loomis Trail in our service area. So this sheet before you has got Puget Sound Energy on the left, City of Blaine on the right. As you can see, our bills are much more simple. they have a plethora of different credits relating to conservation and wind power and all that. We have a straightforward, okay, you have a cost per kilowatt. The bottom line or total bill for a typical residential, assuming 1,000 kilowatts of use, shows Blaine coming in at $67.22 versus $97.08. So Blaine bill is less than 70% that of the PSE bill. The similar scenario, it's not very similar. The commercial service is a little more complex based on both kilowatts and kilowatt hours. And so they charge for the 125 kilowatts, the first 50, they have a certain, they kind of write off no cost. And then the 75 that remains, they have a cost. And then similarly with their energy charge for 30,000, their first 20,000 kilowatts has one rate, and then the remaining, whether it's 10 or more, goes with a smaller rate. We have one energy charge, one rate. We don't have the multiple rates. We don't have the multiple credits. So, we don't really, in the City of Blaine, have an exact commercial service that mirrored theirs. We have what we call small commercial and then large commercial. So I included both on the bottom for you on the right. And the rates are a little bit different for winter and summer. So that's why it's broken into the four on the bottom. I have from their website the information that I used to create this, if you're interested. I can't even pretend to understand where they come up with all these numbers, but I just wanted to convey you a example. So that's all I had to report, unless there's any questions.
We have an update on the power conversion for East Blaine.
The
power
service
conversion
area
from Puget to Blaine Power.
As I mentioned, we're in agreement on our service areas. We've reached agreement on what we are going to purchase. The agreements are now with John Sitkin, our city attorney. There's three agreements, one for the purchase and sale, one for the service area, and then we also are taking this opportunity to put into a formal agreement our mutual assistance. So if we have an emergency, they have someone nearby, they help us, and likewise goes the other way. I would anticipate I'll be bringing you those agreements to approve over the next couple of months, and then my intention is to show the actual purchase in the 2014 budget. And we have confirmed that we do have enough in our capital reserves to make that purchase.
Okay. Do we have any kind of idea when it's really going to have an effect on the homeowner?
Well, of course, we're going to have to work with utility billing on the new services that we're acquiring. Mm-hmm. And as and likewise the mains that we were requiring. But because we've negotiated the purchase of their transformers, we don't need to spend a lot of field time converting and taking out their transformers, putting in ours. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to go pretty quickly. I think that the billing side of it might be some of the more kind of pesky to coordinate, just because mm-hmm. we're going to be adding quite a few more customers. Mm-hmm. And then our residents will be on Blaine Power. So I think overall, while it's taken a really long time, mm-hmm. It'll be worth it, because I think in the long run we came out with a much stronger agreement relating to our, what service area we're going to have, like the Loomis mm-hmm. Trail, for example. Getting all of our watershed in our service area, I think, was very huge. Mm-hmm. Those are things that did not exist when this came to you in 2011.
So will their power rates for Blaine correspond roughly to what's on here in reduction?
What a typical residential customer could see in a change in their bill would be very typical to the top
typical
of this page.
Of this. Okay. And might
at least
happen?
A percentage, because, again, I don't know if they use, you know, 500 kilowatts instead of 1,000.
Sure.
How that would be.
But percentage-wise, it should
for the residential, the percentages are very straightforward.
Okay. And might it happen in the spring, summer?
Oh, I think at the latest. I really do, because we are at that kind of finish line phase mm-hmm. right now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that.
Yes. Dennis. Raven, how many new customers will Blaine have?
Oh, I was afraid you would ask that question. I'm going to have to get back to you, Dennis, because we started with what was in the 2011 proposal, and I think that was like 80. And then we extended that to include all of East Blaine, and I don't have that with me. So let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, the other part of that is we were close on the tier price that...
The tier 2 power. Frankly, I don't think that the additional residential usage is going to be have nearly the impact of what a huge industrial customer might do if we get some big industry out in the airport. That is one of the reasons, in addition to trying to save some wastewater operating expense, that I've been really encouraging this energy conservation project, because it's doing something at a city level that helps us to stay, keep that threshold a little bit longer.
But you don't think we're close on?
The last Bonneville Power estimate had that out 7 years, so 2020. And I'm hoping that by doing the ESCO project, that we're pushing that out at least out through the entire window of our loan, the 15-year period. So I'm hoping it doubled that, but again, that's very variable depending on what industry comes to Blaine.
Any other questions for Raven?
One more quick item, and that is we are including in our 2014 budget a update to our electrical utility plan. And I think a lot of the things that you were alluding to are things that I'd like to address in that plan. So I'm happy to say that that's in our current budget proposal.
Okay. Mr. City Manager, are there any other community? I guess public safety is...
I think Michael may have one.
Michael has a report.
Yeah, there is public safety on the agenda, but as you can see, Chief Haslip's not here, so that does put me up next.
You're going to do that, are you?
Actually, I kind of can, because one of the things it says here is staffing. The reason Chief Haslip isn't here is he sent us an email just a little bit ago that mentioned that he's covering for two different employees, one who's out sick with cold and one out with the flu, and he's working graveyard shifts these days. So I guess I can kind of do that. I just wanted to give you an update on something that is a bit of a news item. You might be familiar with the Drayton Cove Trail. That is a section of trail that runs under the Airy condominiums in Semiahmoo and Drayton Cove subdivision, and then off towards Drayton Hillside. Used to be the Drayton Harbor Road before Semiahmoo was annexed and developed. By SRA vote, they've made a decision to close that trail during the winter months. There is no clear public access easement over that trail. There is an easement for community access, and it's for community members and such as hotel guests and such as well. So it is a somewhat disappointing thing from my perspective because it is a real community asset. We had talked with them about maintenance and the need to address some of the drainage issues there. Semiamu's approach, the board's approach was to vote to close it during the winter. I do hope that they attend to some of the maintenance issues next summer. We're not taking any action because there is no public access easement over that trail, but it is an item of interest. You may hear some folks talking about that. It was not their property. The easement was created before or at the same time that those lots were created. And so the easement is, yes, it is still physically their property, but there is a right for others to cross their property. So mainly I wanted to just make you aware of that because you might hear that trail's been closed and there is not a public access easement over it. There's a community access easement for homeowners and community members and resort guests and such. It's been commonly used by lots of members of the public for quite a long time, but you may just hear about it.
Dennis, I guess I'm confused. Is there a problem with that property as far as the bay, or what is the concern?
There's a road, what used to be a roadside ditch,
yeah, I know,
on the uphill side, or the kind of the uphill side. It's on the west side of the road, the old road. Due to slumping of the slope and some minor landsliding activity, mudslides and such, that's become filled in a number of places. So a lot of water is ponding there, and it flows over the road, the old road, which is the trail, rather than draining off properly. We met with SRA and the property owners to discuss the individual property owners' drains and the importance of them fixing their broken drains. Some of them have drains that work fine, some of them don't. And with SRA to talk about the need for that roadside ditch to be opened again so water can flow properly to the various culverts points so it can discharge. So there's not really an issue with the harbor, although there is erosion occurring there. That's not the immediate issue. The immediate issue is that the drainage isn't functioning properly. A lot of water is being ponded in the old roadside ditch, and it's during the winter. Actually, any time that it rains quite a bit, but that typically is during the winter here, it flows over the old trail rather than through the culverts as effectively as it should.
Well, where does it end up if it flows over?
Down the embankment and into the harbor.
Oh, I'm puzzled. Why is it safe or appropriate or whatever for hotel guests and residents to use the road, but it is unsafe or inappropriate or whatever for anybody else to use the same section of road?
I didn't say that. If I did, I didn't mean to say that. There is an easement on that, and it's worded to say for community members, and I can't remember exactly the phrasing, but it alludes to the idea of hotel guests and all members of the community association, which includes the hotel, and then therefore their guests is my extension. That's my interpretation. Whether it's safe for them or not safe for them is not anything at all that I'm interpreting. I'm just saying that there's an easement for some folks to use it, and they've opted to close the trail during the winter months. Yeah, they've closed it to everyone is the idea, or they will be closing it to everyone, not just some. They intend to close it to everyone during the winter months. And I wouldn't want to read into why. I would suggest you look at the SRA minutes, or I can provide those to you. I'm sure you have easy access to them, but I don't want to put words in their mouth why. Well, we met with most of those property owners. We sent them all letters. Many of them attended a meeting with me and Alex and other property owners to let them know that they do, in fact, have drains. And we showed them pictures of various drains and showed them pictures of broken pipes and showed them pictures of landslides. And a number of them told me that has nothing to do with their drains. And that land will slide. That's the way that it is going to happen. And I agreed, but I also pointed out that sending large amounts of water over the bank at one point from a drain tends to make land slide a little faster. But in any case, we hope that they will be working with us individually to address that. The property owners, the SRA trail closure is really a separate issue. There are two items there.
Charlie.
Crane that's out in the middle of Drayton Harbor, is that taking up the old tugboat out there, or is that just anchored?
I have no idea.
No, it's south of the south. Yeah, I wonder, because it's right about where the old tugboat was.
Oh, it may be. Depending upon how far it is out there in the water, it's maybe actually out in the county, but no one has contacted us about it at all.
Michael,
I have another question. Is the Rite Aid property that they got assumed on, is that projected for anything there?
Not to my knowledge. It is a separate development parcel, though. It could be developed. There were some initial conversations about the possibility of a bank, but there's nothing has moved forward. Yeah.
Do you know they're opening soon?
They are opening soon. Did you say the 7th? That may be. They have. They projected a couple of different dates for us, and they're asking us for final sign-off on certain items.
Michael, there's all kinds of survey crews around and about San Diego. Do you know anything about that? Gypsum is the survey company.
Survey crews are a good thing, unless they're in your backyard and you don't know why. But survey crews are indications of development interest in development activity.
Saying, are they working for us, or are they working for the
I don't have Jeffson doing any work for community development. Raven, do you have any surveyors working for you right now? It's really common to see them out and about, and then some months later, it may be couple weeks later, maybe 3 or 4 months later, we get an application.
They're all over the golf course, which makes me kind of interested.
That's odd. That may have to do with the sale of the hotel property and the golf course and such. They might be doing some survey work related to that. And if they're all over the golf course, they're probably surveying in the irrigation system. It could be as simple as that. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further, Mr. City Manager?
Nothing.
Is there anything in the area of old business, unfinished business? Anything in the area of new business? Anyone have any new business for the council? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting. 7:44. Okay, what's the score in the football game? Anyone know?